This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
This is Tech Talk, made possible by TM1.
It's Geek Squawks. My name is Jeff Sandhu, together with Culture Pop's Matt Outage. If you don't know already, you really should go and update your WhatsApp app on your phone, whether you're using iOS, Android, or whatever device. You should have updated it by now because WhatsApp, a lot of people saying, oh, WhatsApp got hacked. So that term, WhatsApp got hacked, is actually wrong. WhatsApp didn't really get hacked per se.
No.
Yeah, it's just a vulnerability that appeared. In the, you know, that's owned by Facebook, and it's, you know, hackers can actually install spyware through an infected WhatsApp voice call, which I thought was pretty innovative though.
No, it's a fantastic idea, but the what people should also be wary of, so I'm using an iPhone and I have automatic updates switched on. So I checked through my list of updates yesterday, assuming that WhatsApp had updated because the update was a couple of days old, and it hadn't. Oh. So it's worth not just taking it for granted. Go and check, go back to the App Store and see if there's an update pending for your for your WhatsApp, just in case.
Yeah, I did the same thing too. I think the update only came for me like nearly towards the end of the day. After a few times of refresh, I think they go through batches and something like that. So anyways, a lot of people are saying, it's like, oh, you know, how would this work? Well, it's basically capable, the spyware, when it's installed, it's basically capable of going through your calls, your texts, and other kind of data. It even can activate your camera, your microphone. It could do all kinds of stuff when you've clicked on that link that would, you know, sort of download the spyware, the voice call, right?
Yeah. Well, you don't even have to do that, right? Because one of the things I read was that they make the spoof call and the software gets planted when they make the spoof call. But the software can then delete that from your call log. So all it has to do is flash once. It can delete it from the log. So you might not ever even know that it had happened.
Now, according to the Financial Times, and you mentioned this on your MSP show, it is the Israeli cyber intelligence company NSO Group that developed the spyware, and users, like you said, you know, don't even have to accept the call. It was hidden from the log. So, you know, that's interesting that how an cyber intelligence company was sort of behind these attacks.
Well, the you know, we all know that national security agencies in various countries look for these vulnerabilities and flaws, and they exploit them. What's maybe a little bit unusual about this is that we know it's a commercial company working in this area, and we know that they have clients who are national governments, but they also have commercial clients as well. So we do need to have more information about who they were actually developing this software for and for what purpose.
And it's only going to be more riskier in the future. Like you mentioned, right? You know, it's time in your earlier piece about disruption, and it goes back to all the three parts or all the four parts that you talked about. It's how these tech companies, they have such a huge monopoly. And we here, you know, we're just a bunch of numbers and we're demanding for more privacy. But yet, just on our phone, the amount of access and you know, information that we give, that we agree to without even looking through, why is WhatsApp saying that, you know, can I access your calendar and, you know, can I access all the other information that you wouldn't want an app to even access it anyway. So, but we go like, oh yeah, go ahead.
Exactly. And these monopoly situations, they can sometimes stifle technology or stifle R&D. I was listening to the Reveal podcast this week, and that was about the development of and sale of tasers, electronic stunning devices in the US. And one company has a monopoly because it owns all the patents. So any company that tries to start in that sphere, it tends to be buried under lawsuits quite quickly. But police departments are complaining about the effectiveness of tasers. And they would believe there would be some benefit to having competition in the market because it would spur people to innovate and introduce sort of new variations. Whereas this particular company is expanding into cloud computing, body cameras. So not so much focus is being placed on that less lethal weapon segment. And as a result, law enforcement officers seem to be feeling that they're being let down by the technology they use.
Well, a lot of we've heard this before in numerous times of how, you know, government officials, government agencies, they want a backdoor access to our phones, and you know Apple has, you know, reluctantly said no. Google and stuff have all came out and said no, but yet there are, you know, a few tech companies or manufacturers who are like saying, you know what, we do have a backdoor access, and yeah, in the future this will just be continued on.
But the problem is, once you have a backdoor, yes, that backdoor is only for the person who has the key, but that's what hacking's all about. It's about
finding
the key and getting into the system. Yeah, because, you know, you're just inviting people to try and attack your system.
It thinks it's going to get worse, but, you know, what we could do is just, you know, make sure you get your apps fully updated whenever these things happen, and that's the
Or learn Morse code, move on to a hilltop, and send your messages that way.
So a number of people have been targeted at this WhatsApp attack, including a UK-based human rights lawyer and an Amnesty International researcher. They've all been identified. But you know what? I don't think you really should be worried, as long as you've already updated your app on your phone. And if you haven't, you really should do. And you'll probably find a lot of apps have
ever been.
And a lot of people don't do this.
And I mean, I think the thing is, for most people, you are not going to be of interest to these kind of surveillance agencies. But as we were saying, once that flaw is publicized, other people can make use of that. And there are plenty of other people out there on the darker parts of the internet who will try to get access into your phone. I mean, I was listening to a podcast this morning about a catfishing scam that that gets people to send, you know, compromising pictures of themselves by posing as an interested mate, and then those people are blackmailed. So this kind of technology that gives access to your microphone, gives access to your camera, all of these things can be used against you. And of course, because we all have, you know, credit cards stored on our phones. We all have all kinds of financial or identifying information that criminal groups can use.
Yeah, exactly. When we come back, we'll talk about Amazon. They're replacing us humans again with robots. And also we have King of Culture. We'll be right back. BFM 89.9.
You're listening to Tech Talk, made possible by TM1.
Begin Free Malaysia. BFM 89.9, The Business Station.
You're listening to Tech Talk, made possible by TM1.
And we're back. It's Geek Squawks. My name is Jeff Sunder, together with Matt Armitage from culturepop.com. Amazon, they are rolling out machines to automate a job that has been held by thousands of its workers, and that is boxing up customer orders. I mean, you can't get more mundane than that, but you know, it's interesting to think a robot is able to go to that extent to actually do packaging and boxing now. So the company, they started adding technology to a handful of warehouses in recent years, which scans goods coming down from the conveyor belt and then envelopes them in seconds and later in boxes custom built for each item. And two people had worked on this project, according to Reuters. And Amazon is now considering installing these two machines at a dozen more warehouses, removing at least 24 roles at each one. And these facilities typically employ more than 2,000 people. So that would mean like more than about 1,300 cuts across 55 US fulfillment centers in a standard size inventory. So more robots in Amazon's warehouses.
Well, there's a couple of parts to this. I mean, I was talking to Arvin before before we came on air, one of Tech Talk's other producers, and we were laughing about the fact that they still need the human workers, but they need the human workers to put the items onto the conveyor belt so that the machines can start boxing them up. Because the machines, you know, we know robots are not great at grasping things, particularly when things are very different. You can program them to grasp the same part over and over again, but they don't have the same kind of pincer motor control that we have with our happy little paws. So you have this system now that we are preparing things for the machines.
Oh, gosh, yeah.
We're working for the machines, not the other way around. That's why we were laughing, because the idea of this technology is supposed to empower people and to make life easier for people. But now we're actually doing that for the robots. Mm. We're doing the part of the job the robot can't do.
But you can see why, because Amazon really just wants to reduce labor and the cost of labor as well. And they want to, you know, be able to do this 24 hours a day, where else as humans, we can't do it. And then we'll go out to the media and say, oh, Amazon's been treating me really badly. And, you know, I haven't gone to the toilet for the past 3 hours. And
I know. And that ridiculous thing that if we go without sleep for 72 hours, we die. I mean, what kind of flaw is that to build into a machine?
Exactly. We build these machines, by the way.
Right, you know? Exactly. So, no, I mean, on the one hand, it's great that Amazon is getting rid of these very boring, repetitive, monotonous jobs and replacing them with machines. But that's only good if there are other industries that soak up the jobs that are lost. But when we see increasing automation across every industry and you just see jobs being shed everywhere, at some point you say, well, at what point are there actually going to be any customers left for these services?
Yeah.
Because if nobody has a job, nobody can buy anything from Amazon.
Exactly,
so you do think that somebody has to at some point sit down and think about it a bit more carefully and stop looking at the next quarter's kind of profit call and just say, well, actually, are we destroying our own customer base?
Well, you know, the people from San Francisco will probably buy it, right? One in
11,600 is a billionaire.
I think they'll be fine. What do we have for King of Culture this week?
Well, a lot of people have been complaining about the Marvel Cinematic Universe recently,
yes.
Game of Thrones. So I'm going to suggest that they invest their time in a different franchise. We have, I think it's opening this week, John Wick Chapter 3, Parabellum.
Awesome.
I've seen the trailers. It looks absolutely awesome. Now, this is one of those rare franchises that has actually started on the screen and has expanded out into comics and all those other things. But it exists on that screen. And it really is kind of picture perfect, in that it's got those gritty noir elements, it's got those the magical realism elements of Game of Thrones and Marvel Cinematic Universe. It's got an absolutely inventive approach to killing people. I mean, there's nothing sensible about the franchise at all. It's Keanu Reeves, but there's also an incredible attention paid to detail. I mean, I'm not going to go into all the kind of the stuff, but you know, they actually count the number of shots every gun is made. So there's none of this, I've got a pistol and I'm going to shoot it 30 times. Keanu Reeves counts the number of times that the trigger is pulled when he's doing all of the scenes. So the reloads actually take place in the correct space. So that is
realism.
If you want to know more, you can listen to the skip intro review of the show, which came out this week. But yeah, that's my pick for this week. Invest in a new universe that's defining itself, that's continuing on, and you're not going to feel disappointed because it exists in and of itself. You're not comparing it to the books or the comic books that came before.
All right, John Wick 3.
Yeah, and I love the fact it's John Wick Chapter 2, and then John Wick Chapter 3, Parabellum. And also, it has a fantastic cast. I think they've added Halle Berry for this one. There's actually a lot of the faces that you see in Game of Thrones are already transferred to this franchise.
Yeah.
So yeah, John Wick, give it a go.
Pretty cool. Now, before we talk about our last story, I need to play you this clip.
50 years ago, we pioneered a path to the moon. The trail we blazed cut through the fictions of science and showed us all what was possible.
It's very pretty out here.
Today, our calling to explore is even greater. To go farther, we must be able to sustain missions of greater distance and duration. We must use the resources we find at our destinations. We must overcome radiation, isolation, gravity, and extreme environments like never before. These are the challenges we face to push the bounds of humanity. We're going to the moon to stay by 2024.
I just want to say, oh my goddess, because NASA, yes, NASA, they have an ambitious plan to put the first women on the surface of the moon by 2024. And it's going to be named Artemis after the Greek goddess of the moon and also the twin sister of the god Apollo, which I really couldn't find any more fitting name for this project. But they do require a little bit of help from the billionaires in San Francisco.
Well, yeah, you know, but I think there's enough of them to go around.
I think there is, though. So they are looking to finally put, the first women on the surface of the moon. This is after putting the first men on the surface of the moon in 1960s and 1970s. And according to NASA's administrator, he says that, you know, I think it is very beautiful that 50 years after Apollo, the Artemis program will carry the next man and the first women to the moon. I have a daughter who's 11 years old and I want her to be able to see herself in the same role as the next women to go to the moon. And 2024 is just a few years away from now. It's 5 years away from now. And
I wonder if someone will try and beat NASA to this particular punch, because we know that China and India are also in the race for the next set of moon landings. I think China wants to have, is it a permanent space station on the moon by 2028, 2029? Mm. Which is also, when you think about it, that's only 10 years away.
Mm. The race is on.
Yeah, the race is very definitely on. But it is, I know it's only symbolic going to the moon, because really...
Yeah,
you know, it's just a bit of our own planet that just kind of floated off. But it is one of those really beautiful things. You know, it's that thing that we see up in the sky, and to look up there and think that there are actually people standing on it. That really is a kind of very magical kind of thought.
So I have a plan, and I've started a savings fund, and it's called...
I thought for a moment you said you were going to try and transition.
Send me to the moon, but it's not actually sending me to the moon. I'm just going to be saving up for the next 5 years to watch the launch of Project Artemis, because I think that will be a dream come true, watching
You want to go to the US to watch the takeoff. Yeah.
I think it will probably be at the Kennedy Space Center or wherever it's going to be in the US. I will be, hopefully you all will be there, you know, and
yes, funded by user donations. Well,
funded by user donations, yeah. You can tweet me and I'll give you my bank account details. Right, anyways, now we have the TM1 Tech Minute. Choosing a mobile network standard is different from choosing a mobile phone. Networks don't have selfie cameras, megapixels, or fingerprint scanners. You don't walk into a store and ask for a data network that's robust, blistering fast, and reliable. It's already assumed. Whatever devices you use, you expect your network provider to be top of the line. We can tell you that with 5G, it will be faster than any 4G LTE connection. It's better to tell you what it means. It's safety and security for your loved ones. It's access to education, training, and knowledge. It's virtual reality on demand. Cashless transactions that you can trust. An ever-expanding digital world made possible by TM1. And that was your TM1 Tech Minute, Matt. Before we end the show, Geek Tunes as usual, what do we have?
We have the latest single from Modest Mouse, an indie band who've been around, well, seemingly forever. And they always sound fantastic. This is Poison the Well.
BFM 89.9.
Tech Talk, made possible by TM1. To learn more, visit tm1.com.my.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.